This episode of Humble Holding Up is brought to you by Luna's Llama Adventures.
So this late in the summer, you've probably been to the river.
Yes.
You've done your backyard barbecues.
Several.
You've maybe gone to some baseball games.
Well.
What is there left to do?
Tell me, Steph.
Well, maybe it's time to think about going on an adventure with a llama or two.
Ooh.
With Luna's Llama Adventures, you can book a llama companion for your next hiking or camping trip and have a cute friend by your side who can also carry your stuff.
You could also book llamas to be a fuzzy fun presence at your party or event. Llama weddings, all the rage this season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just go to lunaslamaadventures.com. It's the new fuzzy thing to do. It's Humboldt Holding Up, the Lost Coast Outpost hit summer jam for your ear holes, making you move and sway past those foggy summer days. My name is Andrew Goff.
Well, I'm Stephanie Gary. Yeah, definitely, that's normally what people do when they listen to a podcast.
Yeah, they get down.
Maybe in the first 10 seconds, they're always like, yeah, I like this song. And then voices come in and then they're like, oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Wrap yourself in a fog blanket and let these sweet, dulcet tones of mine and Stephanie's voices take you away.
Yes.
To a warmer place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who's our guest this week, Steph?
Well, this week I am thrilled to welcome one of, I was going to say Arcata's new city council member, but she's not.
They're pretty much all new council members.
They're all pretty much all new. We have an even newer new now, except for Brett. We are introducing an Arcata city council member who was one of the three council members elected during the craziest election I've ever seen in 2020. Emily Goldstein.
Yeah.
Is joining us today to talk about what's been happening in my town of Arcata. It's my town.
Yeah, also that's where you live. That's fine. you can own it. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to talk to Emily about what it was like to campaign during a pandemic, what it's like to come back to in-person meetings, a few issues, housing. Yeah.
Get her in here?
There you go. Without further ado, let's get Council Member Goldstein, aka Emily, in here. Hi, Emily. We've never met.
My
name's Andrew. I really appreciate your willingness to jump into yet another Zoom meeting with us. I'm sure you're just about sick of these at this point.
No, it's fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as you know, Council Member Goldstein. Yeah. This has been such a weird year. I haven't been able to follow, local politics as closely. So I don't know, a lot about you except what I've read. And so I thought maybe we could just start by talking a little bit about Arcata, and specifically just like, what do you like about Arcata?
Yeah, sure. And you definitely can just call me Emily.
Okay.
Council Member Goldstein.
I wanted to give you the honor of your office if you wanted it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's very nice. I think that's probably the last thing I'll be adjusting to is being referred to as Council Member Goldstein.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I love Arcata. I think as everyone does, right? We live in a great place. And
Not everyone.
I mean, yeah. I guess, maybe not everyone. Maybe not everyone.
They often pop up in our comment section,
people that
don't like Arcata.
Yeah, that's true. I try to, if I'm being honest, avoid your comment section.
So do I.
It's a little brutal. I mean, I moved here in 2012, like many people, to go to HSU. I fell in love and it just kind of stuck. Arcata, I don't know. I don't know how to encapsulate my love for Arcata. I think one of my first memories of Arcata was when I came here as a senior in high school to do my college tour thing. Okay. And I walked down the street and some random person just smiles and goes, hi, and waves at me. And I was like, wait, people like are nice here.
Where did you come from?
So I'm from San Diego, from Lake County, San Diego. So it's not like people there are.
San Diego's pretty friendly.
I thought I grew up in a very nice place, but moving here, I'm like, wow, people are really friendly. My partner's from the Midwest, so I feel like we're the Midwest of the West Coast in terms of like niceness. Because it turns out people in the Midwest are just really nice. But yeah, I think that there's a, I think that memory that, you know, 18-year-old me held on to really encapsulates a lot of what I feel. And it's just that we have this community that, that does show care for each other. And that we have differences in opinions, and that's okay. But that at the end of the day, it's that we love our community and we just want Arcata to be a good place for people to live. And I really genuinely believe that. I think that can sound kind of like cheesy, but I really do believe that like the people of Arcata are good people. And so I think that that beyond anything is just, I love living here. I love the community. I love our nature. But the people, that's why I wanted to run for city council. I wanted to represent them, because I think we have really good people in our community, and that's what makes Arcata extra special.
Yeah. So I think that like as we at Loco kind of look back on the weird pandemic era that was, you know, with the pandemic, with Trump, with all these historic social justice happenings, you know, the 2020 local elections are something that maybe fell through the cracks a little bit for us. We kind of refer to this as like the lost election, just because there was so much going on and, you know, we were all separated. So now still, I feel like we're still trying to do a little catch up. And then for you, you know, you were forced to have to try and figure out how to campaign during a pandemic. You know, you had to try and connect with your potential constituents, which I'm sure was difficult. And Arcata now has four brand new council members in this past half year. You know I feel disconnected from so much of civic life these days. So I guess what I want to know is like, how has this absolutely weird experience been for you? And like going forward, how do you ensure that Arcata feels connected to its brand new council so that you can, you know, feel good about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it has been a wild, I guess, year and a half now, but yeah, I mean, choosing to start campaigning in the middle of a pandemic is not something I really thought I would do. But you know, I think that we have so many ways other than in person at this point, and people have been so adaptable and flexible, that during my campaign, at least, I did feel very connected to my constituents. I chose not to do like door knocking and things like that. It just didn't seem like an appropriate choice during the pandemic. I didn't want people to feel uncomfortable or anything like that. And so, you know, a lot of my outreach was online, and I feel like that kind of did give me this, you know, experience now that, as you said, we have four new people, and Sarah, Stacey, and I have been there for, I'm bad at math, like 9 months, something like that, months. And so, yeah, I feel like they're getting to know us, but with Meredith joining us, I think that it is really important that we continue doing some really versatile outreach that, as much as in-person is possible, that's great. But even, you know, we had our first in-person meeting and then it was great. And everyone was so happy to be back in person, no masks. Yeah. And then, you know, a week later we had our candidate forum last week and masks were a mandate again, because we are seeing an uptick in cases and it's serious.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know which way things will trend, if we'll, you know, it's just going to be a little spike and then we'll be okay. Or, if we're going to be back online a lot, I can't say that because I have no idea. Yeah. But I think that using those resources that we've gained, not just us as council members, but that the community really has been so flexible. I did a lot of my outreach through social media. I connected with, I think, you know, I'm on the younger side. I think I might be the youngest council member. So a lot of my constituents were ready to be on Instagram with me. And so that's, you know, I do my best to, you know, send out, you know, biweekly, like, hey, we're having a council meeting this week. These might be topics that you might be interested in. you know, the link is in my bio. Go check out the council meeting, call in for public comment if it's something you want to like speak on. And so I think it's just about getting a little bit creative. And I think that Arcata is willing to work with us on that. And hopefully we at least can stay in some sort of hybrid format. So that like all four of us and Brett, I mean, all of us can really, you know, connect with the people in our community, which I think we've been doing a pretty good job of through, you know, Zoom and social media and things.
As you hear these public comments and as you kind of, you know, feel the energy of your constituents, like how do you feel like Arcata is doing right now? Is it tense? Are people scared? Are they optimistic? Like what are you feeling?
I think that there is, of course, some concern, just general, you know, worry about what does not just the end of the pandemic, but just going through this mean for, you know, the financial state of our businesses and even our, you know, individual citizens. People have trouble making rent and all these different things. And so I do sense that there is some worry, and I think that the council is very tapped into that and ready to act in the ways we can. You know, as a support to our community, because that's what we're there for. And then I would say in terms of tension, I think that, you know, it's an ongoing conversation. I think you could probably talk to, you know, a council member who did this 20 years before me and they'd say something probably pretty similar, but you know, housing and houselessness, you could talk to somebody who was on council like 20 years ago and they would have a pretty similar experience to me, which is unfortunate that, you know, it's just an issue that we have not made as many strides on as I would like to have seen. But I think we are a council now of five as of two nights ago, that are really dedicated to finding housing options. And so I think the tension that comes in Arcata is that I get the sense that everybody cares, but has different ideas of how to move forward. And so I think it's really finding something that's effective, you know, something that's proven to work. And getting, for me, it will always be about the individuals living on the street or who are unstably housed, as they're humans and they need, you know, dignity and a place to live. But I do think that tension comes up around that a lot. And so, you know, I think it's for the best of every community member that it is our top issue right now. And that I'm grateful that all five of us really feel committed to it right now. So I'm hopeful. I think that we could see some really great changes and continue to get community input. We also have incredible organizations that are working on housing right now in the community. And I think that no matter, as I said, I think there are different perspectives on how to move forward, but hopefully no matter your perspective, just seeing like Cooperation Humboldt and AHA, I know are both two groups that are working really hard on trying to develop projects around housing, for people living on the streets and hopefully, yeah, that would relieve some of the tension as well. And it's things that city council can support them in doing. Even if it's not our project, I think that, you know, we also have a responsibility to support the great work that our community organizations are doing. And I think that can hopefully, you know, be good for every single person. I think it is good for every single person, whether you're the person who's getting the house or you're the person who's concerned about it and you're happy to see somebody else get the house, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that issue and you know, it's happening a lot in Eureka now too. I mean, obviously a lot of communities are really focused a lot on housing right now. That, like you say, it's been an important topic for, you know, decades, but like it really feels like there's a sense of urgency around it now. And I think that maybe, you know, the pandemic had something to do with that too. Seeing that, you know, people say that they want it, but then when it comes to it actually being built, you know, in Arcata, I see this a lot too. You know, we have the NIMBYs come out, and then when it comes to an actual proposed, you know, project that people who live near it, you know, are not as supportive of it for whatever kinds of reasons. And I feel like also, you know, maybe not so much with this council. I haven't seen it, but the council before, you know, when I think about like the Village project, you know, that was a big one, the the student housing project. And it just felt like the community and the Arcata Council had such an idea of like what they wanted this to look like, that the proposals just didn't keep, that they just didn't match, that like, it just felt like there were a lot of roadblocks, you know, to a project like that, getting, you know, actually happening. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, how do you feel like this, like yourself and this current council can kind of, you know, make sure that this process is actually moving along a bit and really prioritizing actually getting the housing built and not just saying we want housing, you know. And
right. And I do, I mean, that I think that is, you know, that is a problem. And I hope that, you know, when projects are presented to us that, yeah, instead of being very nitpicky about like we have this specific vision and it has to be this way, that we can say we have a general vision. I think that that really is the key, right? That like compromise, like maybe we're not going to all get exactly what we want. And for folks that, you know, are saying, because we do have some of that, like we don't want it, you know, near my house, I don't want it near this house, you know. And I think that not saying I don't want it near my house, please build it near my house. I don't care, I just want people in houses, you know. Often I think this, you're seeing the same folks potentially complain that they're sleeping on that, you know, we have houseless folks sleeping on doorsteps of businesses or leaving trash around town. And you know, it's at some point, I think we all have to give a little, right? And so if you don't want to have people sleeping on the doorstep of your business, maybe we have to be okay building the shelter near your business. And, you know, for all of us, I think that there's a little bit of give and take, and I'm very willing to be part of that process. And you know, I don't have like a set, like it has to, you know, check all of my boxes. And I'm hopeful. I think the other council members feel the same way. And so I do think that flexibility and just willingness to like, yeah, we just got to do something. And I do think there might be a little bit more urgency. You had mentioned, you know, that the pandemic has really changed, I think, how people think about things in a lot of ways. And I think that's a good thing. And then on top of that, you know, HSU, it seems HSU is becoming a polytech, and that's going to bring more people, and we all know it. And I think that at this point, it's irresponsible to not get prepared for that. And I think we know that too. And so hopefully, you know, that gives us a little bit more of a push of like, it has to happen now, because it's kind of like all across the board. And I think that like people forget about that sometimes when we're talking about housing, is that like, we're not just talking about getting the people on the street in housing, right? There's also the students who can't afford anything except for the cheapest apartments, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the like young professionals like me who would probably buy a house in the next couple years, but they're very expensive right now and they're not that readily available. And so the more housing we can create at all levels, I think, you know, if I bought a house, then the place that I live right now becomes available to rent, right? And then somebody else can move into that. And then the place that they're renting becomes available. It kind of opens up the whole chain. And so I think that we really have to think of it like that, we have an influx of people that are going to be coming. That's going to be great for our community in a lot of ways, but we need to be responsible and focus on actually moving things forward. And so hopefully the urgency will kick us into action.
Absolutely. As a 34-year-old who just moved back in with her parents, I'm going to say yes, please. Right?
Help Stephanie get a house. Can you, in our
council member Goldstein, what are you going to do to get me a house? Okay.
Well, I mean, I do think that I will say, like, in all seriousness, I mean, it's serious, right? Because like my partner and I were nearing 30 and we're talking about buying a house, and it feels very inaccessible to us right now. And yes, I mean, if my parents lived here, I'd move in with them. They don't live here. So I guess I'm stuck. But no, I think like that is a good part of some of the housing plans that we've seen the city staff present to us, is that it is meant to create housing across, you know, all different need types.
Just to stay on this topic a little bit, one of the things, you know, so where to put this housing obviously is the concrete thing that needs to be discussed. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about this, the Gateway District, that this would be, you know, a place potentially for housing. You know, can you talk a little bit about those discussions and like what needs to happen there in order to make that a place potentially to build more houses?
Yeah. Are you talking about like the info plan?
That area planted by K Street and, you know. Yeah,
the Creamery Gateway.
That was the thing about it, because we, you know, the city sent out this release and then said, oh, the Gateway District. I'm like, well, what is that?
I know, I feel like it is like not a term we really use, because we do call it the Creamery, and then we have by Samoa. And
yeah, it's like the Creamery is in the gate, the larger, I don't know.
Yeah, it overlaps. I think it's a great plan. A lot of it is, you know, it's about, we're going to be building up and infilling. And I think that, you know, it makes sense. I think the way that, you know, Director Loya has talked about it is just that, you know, it's the way that we get the most units in, right? And that we could expand out into like the bottoms, but we also know that people don't really want that that's like agricultural land, but also that just you wouldn't get as many units built in there, whereas like if we build up a little bit more in our like you know, more of our, you know, we're a town, we're not a city, you know, in our city downtown, it's our downtown in our city area, and we build up just a little bit, that we get a lot more units in there, and that they can become, you know, usable to people with different income levels. Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense. You know, it gets us where we need to be, and it, I think it's just, we can't just build a few houses here and there. I think that we do need that density.
I think that like that project, now I'm forgetting what the actual name of it is, but it's a Danco,
the Danco project thing,
that's over down on I and something. I and 7th or something. Yeah, like 7th and I. Yeah. But that's sort of like the example, I think, of the kind of thing that Arcade is talking about. But I think about like that lot was, I guess I just don't think, I can't think of many other spaces of like lots that are available that are like that. Like what specifically, what would it be, like parking lots, kind of like, you know, Eureka is doing, or like where, I just am trying to think of like, where will this housing go? Like what doesn't already have stuff on it?
That's a great question. I don't know if I have a great answer for you. I don't think spaces have officially been designated yet. And that's kind of, you know, I think you kind of hit on like where the hardest barrier is for housing, is that the where, like, where are we going to build this? And it's not just about, you know, NIMBYism. It's where is our land? And so, you know, I don't know for sure. I can't say, because lots have not been proposed to me specifically yet. I don't remember if it was Mayor Watson or Director Loya who had mentioned something about, we have a lot of storage units like around town, and that potentially maybe that's an area where we could buy and build up. But don't, you know, don't hold me to that, because that's just one idea.
Don't quote you on this.
I did hear Mayor Watson mention something about that too. And I think it's been mentioned, probably both of them. And I was like, I was thinking that, like, it's just so funny to me that really we even live in a culture where we have places that are completely reserved for people just storing their stuff. When there's people who don't have places to live, and then we have entire buildings that are just for people storing their stuff, where they don't have any place to put it. Anyway,
that's irony, just, I guess, and such a good point you made.
That's a comment on late stage capitalism, I guess.
You know, I mean, I think that that's a solid idea, and I mean, I'm pretty open to, as I said, we'll get creative. I think we do have limited space, but I think we'll make it work with what we do have. And yeah, we'll just kind of go from there.
This episode of Humboldt Holding Up is brought to you by Luna's Llama Adventures. Oh, what was that, Andrew?
I've been working on my llama call. Do you wanna hear it again?
I don't really think.
Not bad, right? I've just been so excited since Luna's Llama's Adventures started booking llama tours, wherein you, the fun, outdoorsy, humbled adventurer, head out into nature with a hardy and fuzzy llama companion. Do you have any llama hike selfies, Steph?
Not yet, Andrew. But that's going to change really soon when I go to lunaslamaadventures.com and book my llama trek.
So what else do you find pressing? Like, I know it's maybe weird to talk about a post-COVID world with all the gloomy new Delta variant info we're hearing, but other than, you know, housing and some of the other things we've discussed, like what are some issues you hope to address as things start to get back to normal? Hopefully they're going to get back to normal. Tell me they're going to get back to normal, please. It's like,
I know. Another thing I wish I could tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
All-knowing council member says
we're asking you for a lot of answers.
But yeah.
Please no, fix COVID.
I will try to fix COVID. Yeah. No, I mean, it is weird to think, you know, that this will end one day, but I think it will. We will be out of this one day. Get vaccinated, people. I think that to me, everything kind of is connected. And so the housing issue is connected to a lot of other issues that might not seem super connected, but issues that I also really want to focus on are like mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I think that we have a great start with the MIST workers. They're like county mental health workers that are, you know, now working alongside our police department to go out on mental health calls. And I think it's a really great start. I'd love to see that program expanded and potentially become its own thing separate from the police, if that's possible. But I think we have a pretty severe lack of mental health care in a lot of ways. You know, the resources we do have that are wonderful are stretched really thin. And so we just don't have enough. And so, I mean, I think that it's connected to housing and that, you know, we're in my, you know, I've done some social work. My degree is in social work. And so I've done some, you know, social work jobs. I'm like, I've been a social worker, I guess. But, you know, in my experience, it's not like you just stick somebody who's been living in the street in housing, right? And then they like, life's great and everything's good. It's like a lot of the time, even if they're not struggling with a particular mental health issue, there's a lot of trauma around going from being unhoused into housing. Yeah. And so I think that like, it's really necessary that we have that type of wraparound support. And so, you know, ways to incentivize more mental health workers and behavioral health professionals to come here, or folks who are already here to, you know, really go into that field and be down to do that type of work, I think would be really great. And it's definitely something that, you know, I have in, you know, on my list of things that I feel important to focus on. And then for everyone, I mean, we're coming out of a pandemic, or I guess we're still in the pandemic. We're one day coming out of this pandemic. Yeah. And, you know, I think that it's, again, COVID has kind of started all these conversations that I think we weren't really having in public before. It started a conversation about mental health in a way that I don't think we really had it on such a large scale before. And so,
It's an emergency.
It's a huge emergency. And so I think to have people that are qualified to support our community who are struggling in any type of way, whether that's COVID related or not, I mean, I think is really important for a healthy, you know, prosperous community. You know, to me, it's when I think of how can we be the most, you know, prosperous community that we can be, it's let's meet as many people's kind of basic needs as possible. And then the rest people can do for themselves, right? Like, I have faith that we have innovative and motivated creative people in Arcata, but if they're struggling with their mental health, if they don't have housing, if they can't make rent, all these basic things, you know, they don't have enough to eat. How can we make sure that all of our people are at a place where they can do what they want to do with their lives, whatever that means for them individually, because I'm not going to put expectations on people and say like, all of you should start small businesses. Some of you should, because that's what you want, but not everyone wants that. But yeah, I think mental health, I'm glad it's a conversation we're having more publicly these days. And, you know, I think it's a hard one, and for so many reasons, but I hope that it's something that we can continue to push and bring more people to our community, or as I said, you know, people who are already in our community that want to do this, uplift them to support folks with their mental health.
Yeah.
You mentioned the social work that you did, and I went back and I was reading like your candidate statement, where you mentioned that you got your bachelor's from HSU in critical race, gender, and sexuality studies, which it seems that lots of people are experts in this these days. I'm noticing, and you go on to like talk about identifying areas of systemic oppression you'd like to help change. And you ultimately like found a position as a health policy coordinator. Is that something you're still doing outside the council life?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that work and why you found it important?
Yeah. So I kind of, I feel like my journey has not been linear at all, but, and thanks for reminding me when I wrote my candidate statement. Cause I don't remember.
Yeah. Remember that 20 years ago when you wrote a candidate statement?
Yeah. I was like, oh God, what did I write? I mean, I think my journey has really been that I went to HSU and we have it's unique in a lot of ways that it's an intersectional program, that it does focus on, you know, race, gender, sexual orientation, gender identity, classism. Like it really, I mean, in the name, right? It is meant to not just be one type of program. It's not just like a women's studies program or an ethnic studies program, which are wonderful programs that other universities have, but we have the opportunity to have this intersectional program. And I was like, I didn't know you could get a degree in this, but let's do it. So I went for it. And I mean, I love the CRGS department at HSU. I think that, if you're questioning what you should major in, go for CRGS. It's a really great experience. But from there, I felt like, you know, I have all of this wonderful knowledge, but I need something in this job market that's, you know, people don't look at CRGS as a degree and then go, yes, we're hiring you necessarily. Yeah. I mean, not to say that you can't, but so I got my degree in social work, and I did that because I knew I wanted to do some sort of work systemically. I didn't know exactly what it was, and social work's a pretty versatile degree. So I did that. I went to Seattle to get my master's degree. Absolutely do not. I'm not a city person.
Okay.
turned around, ran back to Arcata as fast as I could have.
Those people were not smiling and saying hi.
Oh my God.
The Seattle freeze, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get so much hate from Seattleites for this, but if you want to find the opposite of Arcata, go to Seattle. Yeah.
I've heard this. I remember first going to a city too from Arcata, and like I would smile like and say hi to everybody on the street. My friends would be like, weirdo. What are you doing? Exactly. Do that here.
So I met my partner in grad school in Seattle, and I like grabbed them and was like, we are moving to this tiny town that I used to live in Northern California.
Whoa.
Nice. And they were like, I mean, I'm very lucky, because they were like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. I can't believe that they were on board. So that's.
Yeah, I know. So. Like,
okay, sure.
Yeah.
Real quick, Emily, settle this once for all. Where does it rain more?
It rains
Seattle more. Or Humboldt?
Oh, you know, I will say climate change has changed the world, because, can I say?
Yeah, this year it hasn't been raining.
You have to settle this debate right now.
I'll give it to Arcata. I think Arcata gets more rain.
It definitely rains. It rains more smiles and hellos in Arcata, that's for sure.
It definitely rains more smiles.
Oh my gosh.
I promise I'll answer your question. This is so off topic, but you
brought up Seattle. This is good.
Yes, we have gone off.
I watch I don't know if you've seen the show Station 19, but it's like a firefighter show in Seattle. And having lived there for 2 years, I think the most unbelievable, I mean, I don't know much about firefighting, so I'm sure they have unbelievable parts of that. But the most unbelievable part to me is that it's constantly pouring rain in the show. Like sheets of rain are coming down. And every time I watch it, I'm like, this is such a lie. Like, that does not happen. Yeah. So yes, Arcata, definitely. I think we've had a dry year, but we do get more rain. And we're tough here.
Sorry to diverge, but
no, you're all good.
Gone off course, but
my job. So I moved back to Arcata and I just kind of started applying for jobs across the board, and I kind of stumbled into my job unexpectedly. So what I do is, this takes like a little explanation, I guess. So the state of California, I work in tobacco control. The state of California identified priority populations that are targeted by the tobacco industry and therefore use tobacco products at higher rates than the general population of California. And so other than rural, the rest of them are like ethnic groups and the LGBTQ community. But also rural folks are highly targeted by the tobacco industry. And use tobacco rates, or the use rates are very high in our rural areas. And so I work for a nonprofit that's funded through a grant through the state of California that coordinates all of the rural tobacco control. We do a lot of technical assistance. We work on local, we like support on local policy efforts. And so I'm the only one in the North Coast. So I'm the coordinator for the North Coast. Because we are a statewide program. And so I work locally, but my boss lives in Chico and works in Chico and the North Valley and Gold Country area. My counterpart, who's another coordinator, lives in the Central Valley. So we really cover all of California. But I really love what I do. It's really how I kind of discovered that I love local politics, because I was supporting local coalitions up and down the North Coast in passing. My job does not allow for any type of lobbying of any type. And so I just support and do education. And so I was, doing educational statements to city councils or supporting on, efforts of passing policies. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, local government actually gets stuff done. And so that's kind of how I ended up being, when I saw the open seats, I was like, you know what? I think I could get stuff done. And so I decided to run.
But just so we can be really specific, can we say that, Emily, your job is to get Humboldt to stop smoking? Is that a fair way to frame it?
Sure. I don't know if that's a fair way to frame it. I would say that, yeah, I mean, my job is to work on inequities, and I will say that my job is nothing about personal choice. I am not talking to individual smokers or tobacco users and saying, stop doing what you're doing. I'm talking to policymakers and saying, stop letting so many tobacco companies go into your cities, because this is not good. Or I'm talking to our local coalition members and helping them figure out where they want to go. And so, I don't tell people to smoke. That's okay. Like,
let me just light up a cigarette right now. No,
I mean, I guess I shouldn't say it's okay, because it's bad for your health and bad for, people breathing in the secondhand smoke. But I have no judgment. If you are a smoker, please do not feel judged by Councilmember Goldstein, because that's a big job. I have no judgment.
But no smoking in council chambers.
You can't smoke outside in downtown Arcata.
I'm just being dumb.
So, I mean, I guess the trajectory of my life has just been that everything is connected to working on inequities and, finding the places where I can use my voice. So I love my job, and I'm very grateful for it. So
yeah, cool.
And I know my boss reads Loco. So shall we?
Is she a great boss?
No, she is actually. We have an incredible team.
Is she the best boss ever?
She's the best boss on the planet.
There you go. There you go.
Superhero yeah. woman. No, she really does. She subscribes and gets your updates. Yeah, and he's that. Been my job has been incredibly supportive of me being on council. Cool. Like very much backed me and pushed me to, you know, to be, yeah, to do what I, you know, pursue what I wanted to pursue. So
yeah.
The only issue is that if we do ever get a tobacco policy, I will have to recuse myself. And that makes perfect sense. So
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, I think most of that kind of stuff has already been.
We did that. Yeah.
It's already been done. It's only going to be cannabis stuff coming up
right,
now.
Which
so
is not my job.
Yeah. So yeah. You're good. Not
cannabis, so smoke them if you got them. Weed smokers of Arcata.
Still not allowed in city council chambers right now.
Don't do it in council. Yeah.
It's coming though.
Despite what some people from the outside world might think about Arcata.
I think they, like the rest of the world just thinks that like it's a requirement. Like, you can't live in Arcata unless you're high 24/7. Yeah. Like,
it's coming.
Yeah. well, you know, the last time, since we kind of touched on this a little bit, the last time that we spoke, Emily, was about, you know, some of these recent anti-LGBTQ acts that we have seen, you know, in Arcata specifically, and then, in, you know, some surrounding communities as well. And specifically, just to, in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, in Arcata, we had somebody had hung a pride flag up in a planter in Northtown Arcata during Pride Month, and somebody burned that flag. And then a group of community members had a gathering following that, and then hung up some pride flag ornaments on a tree. And somebody came and cut down that tree. Still crazy to me. I don't know why they didn't just take down the ornaments, but obviously
they were not attached very intensely.
I think that they just didn't think it would make enough of a statement, I guess, is my theory. But
haters have a lot of time on their hands, it turns out.
Apparently.
Yeah. It's this odd correlation.
Yeah. But you know, so we talked a little bit about that, and you know, you have mentioned that you're an openly queer person, who's a member of the community and a council member. And you know, I was just wondering, we talked about this a little bit, but just, you know, how did something like this impact you personally, and does it change at all? I know you love Arcata, but did it change at all your feelings about the town? Does it make you feel unsafe or more concerned about the community?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think just personally it saddens me, right? Like it's just kind of a wild, it was kind of a weird thing, like, right? Like, why did you chop down this tree? Like, it wasn't a gay tree.
well, we don't know that.
We don't know. Yeah. I didn't ask the tree. As far as I know, it was an ally tree. No, it was just kind of weird. And I think it did, you know, it makes me sad to see that, you know, that type of hate come right to, you know, basically our front door. And, I will say that I generally feel very safe as a queer person in Arcata, that, you know, I can't speak for every queer person. So that does not invalidate if anybody else has ever told you that, you know, they felt unsafe. That doesn't, you know, you can't say, well, Councilmember Emily feels safe. So you don't. But no, I think I generally do feel safe. And I'm very grateful for that, to live in a place where I, you know, I do feel pretty comfortable being myself and being with my partner in public and everything. I mean, I will say that clearly we don't have a super hateful or homophobic community, because I'm on council. Like, I ran as a very out person and people still elected me. And that was always a question. I was like, I don't know if that will happen or not. And it wasn't really like a doubting of Arcata. It was more just like a doubting of our society, I guess. I was like, I don't know if I can get elected while being, you know, this out and proud. And I did have people who were like, maybe you should be a little more quiet about it. And I was like, absolutely not. You know, I have no interest in, you know, hiding who I am. And so no, I don't know if it changed how I feel about Arcata. I think that maybe it was just a reminder that sometimes I do get to live in like my happy bubble. And I'm also, I mean, this is really, really important. I'm white. And so that I experience a level of safety no matter my other identities because I am white. And I think that I would say that like being queer and a person of color would probably result in a different level of feeling safe than what I experience. And I think I do get caught up in that bubble sometimes of like, I have a lot of privilege. I walk through the world with a lot of privilege as a white person. And it does keep me safe in a lot of ways. And so I think it just broke that bubble a little bit, but it also, that's a good, not that those acts in any way were a good thing, but I think that it reminded me, I mean, you had asked earlier that, you know, what else is on my list? What else am I trying to work on? And I do think issue, you know, in my mind, I'm always thinking of, you know, of identity wrapped up in every other issue. So when I talk about things like housing, I'm also specifically thinking of people of color living on the street, queer people living on the street. But I guess if I don't verbally say it, not everybody realizes it. So I would also say issues of like homophobia, transphobia, and racism are very much on my list. And I think it kind of reminded me that it might be time that we have some sort of community, you know, conversation. And we gather people to hear what are your experiences and how can we as a city better support you? And so I think that it didn't so much change my opinion of Arcata, but just kind of reminded me that like we have some work to be done. And so that's something that I'd really like to do in the near future is have some sort of like town hall or open community forum where we can talk about those issues and hear directly from community members what they're experiencing, because I'm just one person, right? Like I live my one person life and, you know, I want to hear what other people are feeling and experiencing too.
Have you been talking to other people much in the community and gauging how other people are feeling about this?
Yeah, I mean, I would say again, like social media has really been kind of like the like blessing, I guess, during COVID. I'm part of the Queer Humble Facebook page, and I think a lot of discussions happen there, and that's a lot of where I get like my pulse on what's going on in the community. Is being able to interact with, you know, people in comment sections on posts there and things like that. But I do think that, you know, something that's a little bit more formal would be really great.
Yeah. 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 I definitely appreciate you hearing that, hearing you say that thing about the bubble, because I feel like that's just like where Arcata lives is in a little comfortable bubble. Yeah. And occasionally something comes around and pops our bubble and then we like have to deal with it and remember that these are our issues that still need to be addressed.
It seems like, you know, we've been pretty good. Like, you know, there was that incident and then the community responded. And as you say, there was this outpouring of support on social media. You had the, you know, little rally. Similarly, you know, you had the incident in Ferndale and, you know, Humboldt as a community poured into that and made a statement and said, no, we're not going to stand for this.
Yeah. It definitely shows like what you said, Goff, like that these the haters, they seem to be in the minority and they're just some people with a lot of time on their on their hands.
they need a hobby.
I
feel like they are in the minority and that we do have much more support and those voices are louder, which I mean I was really grateful for, because you know, I wasn't sure how, like when I did, you know, when we as a council and the statement that I wrote up, how that would be received. And I did break my rule and read the comment section on Loco and it was really supportive. I was like, wait, what? And so, yeah, you all published the article and people were really supportive and I was kind of like blown away. And so, yeah, I think that those voices, you know, whether they're queer community members themselves or allies, I think are the majority and are the louder voices in our community.
So going back a little bit to some council specific stuff, there's just one thing I wanted to touch on before, you know, we finish this up today, because you had mentioned it earlier, which was just that, you know, amid all this other craziness and in your term so far, you know, you also had Sophia Pereira just abandon the council. She was like, all right, guys, peace. I'm done with all this. No, obviously, no, we wish Sophia Pereira very well. And she's just, you know, she put in her time, did a lot of good stuff.
can I ask, did you ever meet Sophia? You met her? Okay. It seemed plausible that maybe
that would be really funny person. If I never once met her. I think maybe I only did meet her in person at my swearing in.
Yeah.
But she and I have talked since she, you know, stepped down, and I was heartbroken to lose her as our fearless mayor, and you know, just as a colleague. But I'm very happy to have her now as, you know, a friend, a community member.
And she'll still be. We're going to be seeing a lot of her for sure as director of public health.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so the council, you know, just selected a new member, Meredith Matthews, and I was just wondering. How did you feel about that process and how that went for you? You know, I had never seen something like this happen. I mean, in my time in Arcata, I haven't always followed city council happenings as closely as I do now. But you know, just seeing the process of just you guys doing the ranked choice voting like that, having the forum first and then the voting, you know, it was kind of interesting. And I was wondering, you know, do you feel, I mean, obviously you're not going to say no. Obviously you're not going to say anything.
Very
bad about
disappointed
your new,
about in your the choice. Calling,
but do you feel good about how that process went? And like you feel like the choice represented one of your top picks, or, you know?
Yeah, I do.
Who was your top pick? Was it Paul Patino?
You will never know. No, I'm very happy. I'm super excited to get to work with Meredith. I think she's wonderful. I think she's going to be a great colleague. And I do think that, I mean, it was clear. She was like, everybody wanted, you know, on council really did, you know, clearly have some faith in her, which is great.
Had her at least. Yeah, I think she was one of the, everybody had her for at least a choice.
Absolutely.
I think.
In their top three, which I think is great. And I am really excited to work with her. And I, you know, I will just say that was a really hard process because we had really amazing people. And you know, I think that was, if you had watched it, there was, you know, we did our ranked choice voting and then we kind of just paused because I think we like were taking in like, we have these incredible people and we only get to pick one person. And that's really hard. And I like it, you know, it kind of breaks my heart for the other people because like you all did really great. Like they all were so good. So I think that it's just a hard process, you know, when you have great candidates come out like that. I never done anything like that either. So it was new to me. I hope Arcata's happy with our choice. I think they will be. I'm very excited to work with Meredith, and I hope that the other folks that didn't get selected continue to run in future elections because I think they all have a lot to offer.
Yeah. And we have another one coming up
November
2022, right? So
job. I know. Yeah. We said 10 people. I was one of 10 in my election that I ran in, and that was wild. That was really wild.
Yeah, totally.
Well, cool. As I say, we're getting to our time, but is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, or you wanted to grill us on anything, or
why is your comment section so weak?
That's a whole other hour.
Set aside for people do give us a lot of crap about that, and I feel it's just if anybody should get it, it's you, Emily. I feel like that's like if people say, you know, why are your constituents so mean? Why do they come and say mean things at the
right
people?
I totally get it.
How about this as kind of a closer? What is, if you know, it's about lunchtime. If you can go out and buy, you know, one food item from any restaurant in Arcata, like this is, what is your preference?
Oh my God, you're going to make me like name an Arcata local business. This is,
you have
so
to pick
mean.
A favorite.
Okay, well, I'm going to dodge your question because there's a local business not in Arcata that I would really love to see move to Arcata.
Whoa, okay.
So I love you all, our Arcata businesses. I would eat at every single one of your restaurants. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Put more vegan options on your menu because I'm vegan. But Cocina Mariposa in Eureka, they're at the golf course. Please support them. Yeah. They're incredible. And please come to Arcata because you are far too far away from me. And
yes, right. We need them to open an Arcata location.
So far away from me. So I'm giving my lunch choice to Cocina Mariposa. And as I said, I'm vegan. And so they make incredible jackfruit al pastor and it's great.
Nice. Right. Well, okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. That's okay.
That was not the answer I was expecting, and I accept it. Councilmember Goldstein, aka Emily, we thank you for spending some time doing this weird thing, and we'll be seeing you in real life in the future.
Yeah, just thank you. Thanks for all you do. And thanks for putting up with us.
No, thank you. Thanks for giving me this opportunity. This is really fun. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much to Councilmember Goldstein, or Emily, as she likes to, as she prefers to be referred to. Every time I see her now, I'm going to be like, "Hello, Councilmember Goldstein." Thanks for chatting with us, getting into another Zoom, and sharing with us some of her experiences and what's important to her to focus on in Arcata.
One thing she mentioned that I wanted to reiterate, she mentioned that people should get vaccinated, which I found to be bold, relevant, salient, and just good advice.
Yeah. Yes, that was good advice from Councilmember Emily Goldstein to get vaccinated. We don't say it. We haven't been saying it as much at the end as our tag. Yeah. And now it seems like it's time to.
It's a good time to say it.
Seems like it's time to say that again. But find a little time.
Yeah, find a little time.
Find a little time to do that. And be safe in all other ways. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, in closing, again, we here at Humboldt Holding Up implore you, please, just go hiking with a llama in the redwoods, would ya? Like, it's not that often that people take a chance to offer our area a new experience, but that is what the fine folks at Luna's Llama Adventure have done. So, are you hearing me, Steph?
Oh, Andrew, I'm hearing you. This mama loves a llama.
More than Obama in pajamas?
Ooh, I've never seen Obama in pajamas. But I would like to.
We've gone off course. This mama should go to lunaslamaadventures.com and book her mama-friendly llama tour today.
Don't tell me what to do.